All right. Well, good to see y'all this morning. How are y'all? How's the rain out there? Is it raining? Good. Let's see, is this on? Yeah, there we go. All right, a couple of announcements. This is our last week to do everything in here. Next week, we'll do Sunday school in the fellowship hall and kind of get back to that. And this will be last week to do everything in this building. So, other announcements, what else we got going on? I don't think there's anything else to announce. We won't pass any offering plates today, but you can do the give online, you can text to give, and I've given you all the numbers for all that stuff. Send in a check, however you want to do it, but or just bring it up here. Some folks are putting their offerings while they're here, which you're welcome to do. So. All right, yeah, come on down, Tony Stark. Let's go. Brent, come on down. Some churches do it that way, you know. Put the offering plates in the front and they'll let you know who's giving and who's not. Of course, you don't know how big the checks are, but all right. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, I see some of y'all came back after Sunday school. That's good. Some of you survived. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. We're going to talk about people being right in their own eyes. The next week, here's the good and the bad news. Bad news is first. We'll deal with the bad stuff this Sunday, and then next Sunday, deal with the good part of all of this so, in Malachi. Right now, we'll deal with the people right in their own eyes. Malachi chapter 3, if you go to the book of Matthew, and you go back one book, you'll be in Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. Some of the things you read, I read in the Bible, they are humorous and I guess it's like dark humor. I don't know. It's just it's humorous, but it's humorous because of the short-sightedness of people, I guess. But yeah, the sarcasm is pretty incredible too. Malachi chapter 3 verse 13. The Bible says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." I bet every single one of you have had that thought. You look around, you look at celebrities, and you say, these folks have everything. And I'm trying to just go to church and make a living. And how do I get that? I'm sure everyone's had these thoughts. But that's what we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with these types of thoughts this morning. Deals with folks being right in their own eyes. But let's pray and talk about these things. Father, I thank you again for these words. Help us be instructed. Please help us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. There are so many other voices out there that just, who do you listen to? But I'm thankful that I have a Bible that I can trust and can stake my whole life on the words of this book. And I believe it. I believe these words. And help me to believe them more. Help my unbelief. Lord, help all of our unbelief. Help us to apply what needs to be applied out of this. And take it to heart. And not deflect it or anything like that. But take to heart what we need to take to heart out of this. It's instructive. It's admonishing. And I pray that you'd you'd help me this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to say what you once said and all this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I've got some. The outline here is broken down, and the titles, the subtitles, I guess you call them, they're sort of interesting subtitles, I think. They're not homiletic or anything, same letter. But the first subject is an eye-rolling moment, an eye-rolling moment. So look in verse 13. It says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Does anyone see the same irony in that question that I see? It's almost like this. If you were to say to, I don't know, a friend, kids, spouse, whatever, quit arguing, and the response is, "I'm not arguing." You understand? That's what the Lord says. Quit talking against me, and they say, "We're not talking against you." I mean, it's just the short-sighted, the blindness of the people is incredible. It's the irony of their cynicism is they speak against God while they claim to not speak against God. God says, Your words, you're talking against me, and they say, how dare you say we talk against you? We're not talking against you. And it's like, evidence number one. that's all you're doing is talking against me. So you've got this kind of a situation where God says, quit arguing with me, and the people argue that they're not arguing with God. It's an incredible, just a kind of a hypocritical thing in communication. People will say they're not doing exactly what they're doing. Have you ever heard it this way? All right, somebody before a juicy piece of gossip says, "Look, I don't want to gossip or anything." That's exactly what you want to do. That's all you want to do, because this piece of information doesn't have any value. There's no one going to be made better from this piece of information, and you're just taking dirt from here and spreading it here. You don't know if it's true. But hey, let me qualify. I don't want to gossip, but you know what the reality is? That's all I want to do is gossip. That's the point. That's what these folks are doing. The Lord says, "Don't argue with me," and they say, "I'm not arguing with you." Hey, hello. Yeah. That's all you're doing. I don't. Very, very righteous and pious. I don't want to gossip, but have you heard about? No, I haven't heard, and I don't want to be a party to this. I'm not interested in spreading the filth. I don't know. You could use 100 different illustrations of stuff like this, where people out of their own mouths say exactly what they're doing while saying they're not doing it. Look, I don't want to be mean or anything, but this guy is... No. That's exactly what you want to be. In fact, that's all you want to be. You're just going to be mean, because what you're telling me doesn't have any value. It's just taking dirt from here and putting it here. And it's an incredible way of communicating for people who are right in their own eyes. They're just doing, everything they do is right. You can't, don't tell me I'm doing wrong. I don't mean to do this, but let me tell you this. I don't mean to, be mean, but let me do this. I don't get angry often, but when I do, no, you get angry pretty often. You understand? Where people out of their own mouths say the exact same things that they do while saying they don't do them. That's people who are just right in their own eyes. We are so blinded. We are these people. I don't want to be mean or anything. I don't want to do this, but well, that's exactly what you want to do. That's exactly what this thing you're telling me does. That's all it does. So here's what the Lord, he gets on them. "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet they say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" What do you mean? Then the Lord says this, ye have said, verse 14, it is vain to serve God. You ever had that thought? You ever had that thought that you look around and maybe you thought you were serving God and you look around and things haven't changed like you thought they were going to change? And then you look at other things and you say, man, they really got it good, but things just aren't going the way I thought they were going to go. You have said it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? So here's the second thought in verse 14. These folks that say this stuff, they say things like, it's vain to serve God. And when the Lord gets on them, I want you to understand, the people that said this had never served God. They haven't served God a day in their lives. And they said, it's vain to serve God while they're not serving God. So where did they get this idea that it's vain to serve God? I'll tell you where they get the idea. People have this way of conducting and just building their own idea of godliness, and then trying to establish this sort of standard of service in their own mind. And then when that standard of service doesn't really work out the way they thought it did, they say, well, what's the point of serving God? The reality is, you never have served God. That's the reality in Malachi. You thought what you were doing was serving God, but you weren't ever serving God. You've constructed this idea of what service to God looks like, and then you abided by that for a little while, and then that didn't really pan out, so then you kind of reassessed the situation and said, what's the point of this? Understand? I mean, it's the folks asking the questions have never done the things that they're saying they've done. You have said it is vain to serve God. What would you know about serving God? You haven't done it. That's the people Malachi is addressing. You've been disobedient your whole life. What would you know about serving God? They say, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? The whole reason Malachi is talking to them is because they haven't kept his ordinances. You understand? They've created this idea of what godliness looks like in their mind. They built this structure of what godliness looks like in their mind. And godliness looked like pretty much their lifestyle. And then when that lifestyle doesn't yield them celebrity status or multi-million dollar income or things like that, they look at their life and they say, well, what was the point of serving God? You understand? And the reality is, you've never served God and you've never kept what he said to keep. You've just made this whole thing up. So here's what they say. You have said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Well, they never done that either. The whole thing is a farce. And God's going to end up getting the blame for it after these folks who are right in their own eyes decide that their version of godliness didn't work. God's going to get the blame for it. Let's keep going here. Let's see what else. They set up their own standard. Then when that godliness, that quote-unquote godliness, didn't pay out the way they thought it should, God's going to get the blame for it. Or the preacher's going to get the blame for it. Or the church is going to get the blame for it. Or some Christian's going to get the blame for it. But you know what the people are who are blaming God? They're still right in their own eyes. They still think what they're doing is the right thing. It's almost impossible to get through to them. Let's keep going. So he says that you say it's vain to serve God. You say, what profit is there to keep his ordinance? Yet you haven't kept his ordinance. What would you know about keeping his ordinance? You haven't done it. Yeah, it's like, what is it? We have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. You haven't walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. When you've been confronted with your sin, you just bucked up and said, no, I'm right. There was no one that was broken about it. When sin was presented to you, you just kind of bowed up and said, who's he to tell me how to do this? And so here's a people who are right in their own eyes. God will end up getting the blame, and they'll have this perception of Christianity. We'll just say Christianity, because that makes it more real. They have this perception of Christianity that isn't really profitable, it doesn't really help in any way, and it doesn't really do the things that they thought it should do. So you probably watch this, and it's always easier to watch this in someone else's life than to see it in your own life. People who ruin their lives do so honestly believing they're doing the right thing. I mean, how many times have you watched people make terrible life decisions? And you step back and you watch this. And you can't seem to get through that this doesn't make any sense on any level. But in their minds, it makes perfect sense. It's the right thing to do. And the reason it's the right thing to do, because they feel like it's the right thing to do. But what I'm saying is, people, you and I watch people, and maybe we've done it to our own lives. Maybe there's areas of our own lives we've ruined. Because we've just been right in our own eyes. We just kept plugging along, ignoring every effort of God to say, turn around, stop. This thing is not going in the right direction. And we say, I think it's right. I think it's okay. I mean, it's not a terrible thing. And we keep moving these standards of righteousness and erecting this idea of godliness that just simply revolves around our own lives. That's the people Malachi is dealing with. You watch people ruin their lives and do so honestly believing they're doing fine. Maybe even worse yet. You've probably watched Christians destroy churches with the full belief that they have done the absolute right thing. You understand? I know you understand that. But you know what it is? It's just people who are right, absolutely right in their own eyes. They're not interested in outside counsel. Worse yet, they're not interested in biblical counsel. They're not interested in what God says. They've created a structure of godliness that's in their own image, and it works and operates around their guidelines. The standards of righteousness are their own, and any sin in their life is just, it's not that big of a deal, but of course, everyone else's is a very big deal. This is why, this isn't necessarily a side note, but it really belongs here. This is why it is so necessary. You and I have got to have revelation from God. Because this is the way we act without revelation from God. We just write in our own eyes. We just do things that make sense to us. And without any revelation from God Almighty, we will just circle the drain, making the same decisions we always make. Acting the same way, justifying every action we do, and if it wasn't justified, then it really wasn't that bad anyway. You know, it may not have been justified, but you know, it's my decision, and it really wasn't that bad. It wasn't a life changing, terrible decision. It just wasn't the right decision. That's the way people who are right in their own eyes, and I say people who are right in their own eyes. Every single one of us is right in our own eyes. And absent of God's revelation, we will continue to be right in our own eyes, just like Proverbs said, There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And man will just circle the drain, being right and continuing on his spiral down into hell. So let's see what else here. I told you this was the bad news. This was the bad side of this. Verse 14, you've said it's vain to serve God. you haven't served God yet. You wouldn't know anything about serving God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? When did you ever keep his ordinance? The whole reason Malachi is preaching is because nobody's keeping his ordinances. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. You ever walked mournfully? You never cared about your sin. Your sin was always, it's not that big of a deal. So then, you know, our sin is always the sin that God is okay with. My sin is the sin that God's okay with. And that's how your sin is. Your sin is the sin God's okay with. You can keep doing this sin, and God will just kind of, you know, hey, it's all right, it's him. He can keep doing it, she can keep doing it, it's all right. That's the way we perceive sin. Just right in our own eyes. Verse 15. Now here's what they compared it to. They looked around the world. People just look around. And you know what you find in the world? You find this world is conducive to people who don't want to serve God. You find that this world is accommodating. This world heaps praise on people who will live ungodly lives. But to live a godly life, you're going to find some opposition. It's going to be tough. So with that in mind, they look around the world and they find, you know what, these people are doing pretty good. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. So I've never seen her show. I've seen snippets of it. It used to be Oprah. I guess maybe it still is Oprah. I don't know if she even has, she probably has a show, multiple shows probably. I guess Ellen now is one or something like that. But on these shows, you'll have celebrities show up and talk about their great lifestyle, the great 15th wife they've got now. She's the best. You know, this is a great, got a great family, all that kind of stuff. And what's paraded in front of people 24 hours a day is pride and godlessness. And what's held up as esteemed, this is valuable. And you watch, and folks will, you know, it's just you won't ever see a Bible believing Christian preacher preaching the gospel on any show like this. It's not conducive to the world. It just doesn't fit the system. It doesn't make money. It doesn't look glorious, I guess. But you'll have paraded in front of you over and over again just folks talking about their fornication, their adultery, you know, how they're godless lives. And how much money they have and live in these mansions. And it leads to statements like this. When we look around, they say, and now we call the proud happy. We look around and we see people who have nothing to do with God and they seem to be doing great. But it's interesting the way it's worded because it says, now we call the proud happy. You could say, we call them happy. We watch them on TV and we say, look at how happy they are. That doesn't mean they're happy. It just means that's the perception you're supposed to be receiving, that this lifestyle, this mentality in the world yields happiness. And that's what you're presented day and night, day and night. So that's what these folks say. Now we call the proud happy. They compared the the strength of God-fearing people to godless people and concluded godless people just have it better. They compared the substance of godless people to God-fearing people and concluded the godless just have it better. Now, you may not be, or you may be in that category, where you're more concerned with what some celebrity believes than you're concerned with what God believes about your life. I don't know. But consider this: what you're passing on to your children. What do your children think? Do they think they are better people because they have more things than other children? Do they think they are better people because they do more things? If they do, you have successfully passed on this mentality to them, where they look across the world and they say, this doesn't make any sense. Serving God, but over here, these people have it well, and that's what I value, is just having it well. And so I look at my life, and you know, I compare my life with my toys, and I say, you know what, I got a lot of toys, and this kid doesn't have any toys, and he's just not as good a person as I am. Now you may not believe your kids think that. I guarantee you that's the mentality being passed on to generations. They compare stuff with stuff, and their value in this life is stuff and substance. You know what God values? He values righteousness. In fact, righteousness is the currency. Stuff is not the currency. So they say, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Those folks have it. They seem to get along just fine. They got all the things they want. In these shows, this stuff and celebrity, and it's interesting the way Romans 1 puts it about people being celebrated for the things they do and who they are and how they act and all that and what they're celebrated for. And then the people that celebrate them participate with them by celebrating. You would never find, you'd probably never find a guy who was living in a mission downtown somewhere. I remember preaching in a mission in Corpus. Go downtown. You wouldn't find any of those guys on Ellen or Oprah. It just doesn't look like a happy life. The sin had taken its toll on their lives, and it just doesn't look happy. And once sin has taken its toll on somebody's life, you kind of get moved to the side, and let's bring up another happy person. Let's bring up another smiling face. Let's promote this lifestyle and this mentality. What does the world value? What does God value? He says, or they say, yea, they that work with wickedness are set up. Wicked are better compensated in this life. And this really has been the issue. This is what folks who decide to serve God or not to serve God, the Bible says this: without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It means it's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. You hear that word? Reward. That God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The question has always been, where does the reward come from? If it's the worldly mentality, the reward for you is in the world. That's what you're looking for. The gain in the world. How much substance can I get? How much pleasure can I get out of this? If you're a Christian, the reward is not here. It's in Jesus Christ. And you wait for the reward. And you serve God while you wait for the reward. And there's temptations to stop serving God and chase a different reward. And some choose to do that. Either showing that there was no faith there or showing that they've been derailed. The issue is always really where the reward comes from, and that's why you have that verse in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is your rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Those that mock God seem to they seem to always be in healthy, protected position. And I imagine you've had these thoughts. You've looked around and you've made some decisions that said, I don't see any benefit to serving God in this way on this day. I'm gonna do this because I think there's more reward to sit at home, to keep my mouth shut. I think there's just more reward in that. That's the opposite of faith. That's faithlessness. That's godlessness. And just understand this. If you've come to that conclusion in life, and you are living your life according to that conclusion, how much stuff can I get? How quickly can I get it? And if I don't have stuff, then that means God's against me. And if I do have stuff, that means God's for me. That's just basic covetousness is all that is. But if you've come to that conclusion, that is the reward that you're seeking, make no mistake about it. There are only two groups of people in these verses, the wicked and the righteous. There's not a third group. And God doesn't define the righteous as those who have, I understand Jesus isn't around, but those who have invited Jesus in their heart or whatever. He defines the righteous as those that don't have this perspective. He defines the wicked as those that live according to this perspective. They live their lives with this mentality in mind. What is the profit? What is the benefit of serving God? So you just step back for a minute. From whatever you think makes you righteous. Again, I mean, you say, and people say it. I heard it. I asked Jesus in my heart. That we have made that such a that is not Christianity. Saying a prayer is not Christianity. Now you can repent now. I mean, you can say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. I need the righteousness of God. You can say that in a moment. But we've made this, you know, I said a prayer thing into something it is not at all. But we've lived our lives around stuff like that. And we've done exactly what the folks in Malachi have done. They've arranged this sort of religious idea that's right in their own eyes that has nothing to do with God's word. And then they've said, you know, this whole religious thing isn't really working out the way I thought it was. You know why you see folks, I think, you see folks that become teenagers and young adults and they just sort of come into their decision making or they can leave and whatever, and they just kind of leave church. You know why? Because they had this mentality. Because they were taught this mentality. Here's Christianity. This is what Christianity looks like. And they looked at that and they said, that doesn't work. And so they abandoned what they thought was Christianity, which was never Christianity. It was just what people told them was Christianity. That's what Malachi is dealing with. Whatever you're putting up in front of God as righteousness, just consider what you just read. Because there's two responses to this. Look in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So the Lord speaks. Here's the people, divided into righteous and wicked. And the characteristics of the wicked are they don't find any benefit in serving God. Their idea of what serving God has not panned out to be what they thought it would be. And God says, that's the wicked, because that's how they think. Their reward is something different than what my actual reward. Then you had another group that's the righteous group. And what did they do when they heard about all of this stuff in their lives? The Bible says they mourned, they were broken down, and the Lord heard them. And the Lord, we're going to deal with that next week. But look in verse 18. Two groups of people. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God. Here's the only two groups. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You understand? There's not a third group. When you return, there's going to be a mark in the, I mean, it will be a division. And it will divide between the righteous and the wicked. And it will divide between who served God and who didn't serve God. So that's why I say, whatever you think your idea of righteousness is, this is how God defines it. This is what God says. This is the characteristics of righteousness in people. This is what it looks like. If the Holy Spirit, I'll wrap it up with this. If the Holy Spirit brings up your sin, my sin, the Holy Spirit brings up sin that relates to you, and instead of accepting it, you blame it on the Bible, the preacher, the church. You justify your lifestyle. You know what the Lord says? That is wickedness. That's exactly what it is. That is God trying to minister, trying to get to the heart of a soul. And that soul hearing God and saying, I am not interested. My life is fine the way it is. Don't tell me my life is not fine. And so the Lord says, that is the definition of wickedness. That's what it looks like. But then there's the other case where sin gets pointed out, and you may sit there in your pew or whatever. Sin gets pointed out, you're reading your Bible, whatever the case is, listening to preaching, and your sin gets pointed out, and you just hang your head, and you say, God, my life is so messed up. My life, I can't even remember how many times I've turned away from you. How many times you've told me to go in a direction and I haven't. How many times I have just ignored you. Lord, I gotta stop treating you this way. And you know what God says? That's righteousness. That's what I'm looking for. When he comes down and says, this thing needs to be addressed, and that soul says, don't you dare tell me what needs to be addressed in my life. God says, that's the definition of wickedness. When God says, this thing needs to be addressed, and that soul says, yes, Lord, address it, help me. God says, that's righteousness. You notice both of them have sin. They all have sin, the wicked and the righteous. It's just how they handle the sin when God shows it to them. So you think about it in your own life. Because this is the negative side that we've dealt with. Next week we'll deal with the positive side. He's dealing with people who are right in their own eyes. And just like we said at the beginning, quoted your Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know what your problem is? My problem is? We don't think our ways lead to death. We think our ways are fine. We think our ways are acceptable. And whatever parts are not acceptable, God will accept them anyway. Be careful. Be careful. You don't live in the world that Malachi is dealing with. Dealing with folks who have made an image of religion or godliness and said, we've tried to follow it, but it doesn't really work. You know what I think? That's what a lot of young people think. They come to church and they see how Christians act. And they say, I don't see it. I just don't see it. And so they go out into the world because they just see more value in the world. They don't see any value in serving God because they watch a bunch of adults who don't serve God while they claim to serve God. And then they say, I just don't see the value of it. And then we, you know, I can't get my kid. He's doing this and he's doing this and he's done this. And oh, he's making all this, they're doing this stuff. We built the house. Now we hate the house we built. That's what God's addressing. People who are right in their own eyes, it's so important to have a Bible, not just have a Bible, but read, believe, and hear what God says. Because every single one of us is right in our own eyes. And absent of revelation from God, we will just continue to be right in our own eyes. And we'll continue to blame God for stuff. We'll continue to blame preacher for stuff, blame the church for stuff, blame Christians for stuff. And we just continue living our lives that way. If God points something out in your life that needs to be addressed, I encourage you, please. I encourage me. If God points something out in your life that needs to be addressed, get it addressed. And if you don't have the fortitude to get it addressed, at least have some desire to get it addressed. Otherwise, we just get hard to this stuff and just keep living our lives the way we do and thinking we're right and blaming God and all those kinds of things. But this is the negative side. But we got to hear it. You got to hear this stuff because this is who we are. It's not them out there. It's God's talking to people who are going to a tabernacle, doing sacrifices, and being religious. And talking to some nation out there that's some heathen nation. He's talking to people who profess God. This is us. This is who we are. Let's take note of this. Let's learn from this. Let's apply what we need to apply from it. Let's not be, and if we are, let's stop being people who are right in our own eyes and start listening to what God said. And not just listening, doing what God said. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. There's a lot in here that it speaks to the heart of the matter. Just speaks to our hearts and deals with our hearts the way they are. Although you're dealing with people centuries ago, the hearts have really not changed that much. Lord, thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Boy, where would we be? Where would I be? Where would my family be without salvation in Jesus Christ, without the words of God? And Lord, we haven't applied them the way we need to apply them. But you have given us light. I pray we would take that light, and as we move forward, we get more light. Just like a flashlight, you just keep moving forward and you get more light. Lord, I pray that you'd help us apply the light we got. Apply it to our sin. Apply it to our decision making. Lord, if anybody here is not saved, they never trusted Jesus Christ, they've never received the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and they're compelled to do so because of their sin, Lord, I pray today would be the day they get saved. Repent of their sin, trust Jesus Christ and his righteousness to be sufficient for you. And we know it, but we know it is. We know it's sufficient. Lord, thank you for everybody that's here. Thank you for these souls. I pray you'd bless them for being here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're